With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cakes Auville. It is an open line Thursday. We'll open the phones back up at 800-636-1067. Obviously, the coronavirus front and center nationwide and in the sports world. Sports world, they've canceled the NBA season or suspended the NBA season. We're talking to Scalabrine, he sounds like it's going to be canceled.
Well, postponed for now.
I mean, I don't
now,
know how they're going to be able to come back.
I heard that, I guess, the league was reaching out to all of the, I guess, the arena owners to see what their schedules look like into, like, July.
Right.
So maybe they just shut it down for, I don't know, a month, 6 weeks, however long it takes to, you know, corral the virus, and they fire it back up, or maybe they just realize we can't keep it business as usual and have to shut it down entirely.
Well, in some of the countries, it's leveled off, right?
Yeah.
So that if you did a graph, it's going up, and then it's leveled.
They all have a bell curve, they say. Right. You just don't want to hit that peak, because then you overwhelm your system. That's what we've all learned.
And right now in the United States, it's on the rise. So it's even close to hitting the peak. So the NCAA, they didn't cancel the tournament, but fans are not going to be going to a tournament. Think about the millions of dollars that generates.
It's a devastating thing. Here's the thing I don't understand, and I would love maybe, you know, if you know, 800-636-1067, there's not a cure for it now, right? And, you know, hopefully they have a vaccine in a year or so, but, you know, there's a lot of things they don't have vaccines for, but I'm hopeful that they have one. I think a more immediate thing we need to hope and pray for is treatments, right? That's something that maybe seems more doable, coming up with some antiviral treatments that can help people get through this quicker. But knowing that, even if it levels off, knowing that there's no real cure and it's going to always be out there, I don't know how you can ever resume normal activities while it's still out there until you have your vaccine ready, hopefully,
right,
or until you have your treatments lined up that it's safe for the public. You know what I mean? This could really be extended.
Well, the flu is always out there.
But the flu is not as deadly. We have treatments. We have a vaccine that helps minimize the damage of it.
I think it's just...
So we're going to have to wait until we get either a treatment that works, right, that could be universally used. You know, and the scary part is we're dependent on China. I didn't realize this. For 98% of our antibiotics?
I think it's China and India.
That's unbelievable.
I don't think the number was 98%, but maybe it was.
It was staggering.
Yeah, I think they're definitely heavily involved.
Staggering. All right, do we have Sean on right now?
Yes, Sean Devaney, who's now with Forbes and Heavy.com, covers the NBA. At least for the next few days, you're going to be covering the coronavirus, probably for a couple of weeks.
Few days? Probably be for years. Sean, how are you, buddy?
Oh, man. I was a lot better when I woke up yesterday than I am when I woke up today, I'll tell you that.
That's true. I mean, things happened at a dizzying pace, but I think even by yesterday, you knew that this was kind of coming. I don't think we could see it accelerate that quickly, but this has been building for a while here, Sean.
Yeah, and I thought from talking to people around the league that certainly the possibility of playing without fans that was something that was going to happen by the end of the week, that we were going to see that. But over the course of yesterday, you got the sense that something more drastic, that they had to start looking at other things. It was almost as if everybody was considering, well, we can't have these large gatherings. Let's play the games without fans. But nobody said, well, hey, wait, what if one of the players has it? You know, what do we do in that case? And, of course, as soon as that cropped up, you know, you saw the league sort of spring into action and say, well, that's, I mean, we can't have games because it's going to spread so quickly among the players, and that puts their families at risk. So, it was it moved very, very quickly from yesterday afternoon to what we saw last night.
Sean, I'm wondering financially for the teams themselves, all right? This isn't happening in the middle of the season. It's kind of the final quarter of the season, so there aren't that many home games that you might miss. But let's say that the season doesn't resume. You know, they just cancel the season eventually, that this coronavirus thing lasts for several months. The season's canceled. Are there teams that will be in financial trouble?
All of them. I mean, you know, this is not something that is, it's going to be something about around the range of $500 million that the league would lose in revenues. Every team, when you have a home game, it's between 1 to 3 million. It depends where you are. But it's about 1 to 3 million. So, you're going to lose all those games and you're going to lose that revenue. And, you know, each game, you know, 1 to 3 million in the case of an NBA team obviously isn't a ton, but it adds up. You know, I mean, we're talking about the rest of the, you know, about 20 games a team here. So all that is going to add up. It'd probably be about $500 million. You factor in the stuff with China and the Daryl Morey tweet from October, and you know, this is it's all going to be if they don't play again, you add in of course the playoffs and you lose the finals and all that. You add all that in, it's going to be a real, real big hit, and it'll be interesting to see what the league does. As far as the salary cap and things like that goes, because that's when the rubber's really going to hit the road for a lot of these players. You know, where this isn't really just a couple months off. This is something that's going to really they're going to have to figure out how to handle that in terms of the salary cap.
Sean, I know that this is not your beat, but do you believe that the NHL will follow suit and, you know, do what the NBA did, suspend the rest of their season? Do you think the NCAA tournament will go fanless, or do you think they take the next step and realize that we shouldn't be putting the players in harm's way and cancel that? What do you think happens with those events?
Yeah, well, the thing about basketball, of course, is that you're out there, you know, half naked and pressing up against each other, every possession, you know. So if somebody's got it, then you're all going to get it. You know, that's part of the thing with basketball, and it's not to that extent, obviously, with hockey or even baseball. So, you know, those will be somewhat separate decisions, but at the same time, just with the locker room and things like that, I have a hard time seeing how you could still obviously the transmission level is not going to be what it is in basketball, but it's still going to be there. So I just don't know how you can justify having hockey games as well. You know, the NCAA tournament, they've got to cancel it, and it's going to be tough for them. Obviously, it's such a cash cow. But I just don't see how you can have that. Hockey, you know, like I say, it might be different because of, you know, they're playing in the cold, and I don't think this thing thrives in the cold. There's different factors there. But I would think the NCAA tournament has to go. NHL with the NBA taking this step, it's going to be hard for them to justify continuing to play, because if something does happen, they're going to say, well, the NBA canceled your season. You didn't.
Yeah. Talking to Sean Devaney, covers the NBA for Forbes and Heavy.com. Again, this probably seems trivial, but the NBA was actually, I think, having a pretty damn good season with the Lakers resurgence, with the Clippers. The West was going to be really interesting, and the Bucks with Giannis this year. It's maybe going to be unfortunate if the season just goes away. It'd be like the season where we didn't have a World Series in baseball.
Right. Right, right, and think of what that did to the Montreal Expos, right? I mean, they never appeared again. So, you know, certainly you have to consider what are some of the some of the repercussions that there's going to be. You know, if something doesn't get worked out with the salary cap and the cap just drops this summer, and then this thing eventually gets handled and goes away, and they start a new season next year. What's going to happen is the salary cap, and again, you know, this is trivial, like you said, but these are some of like the things that you could think about. The salary cap would spike the next year, so it'd almost be like 2016, where you had that TV money come in and all these crazy contracts pop up. But in the meantime, you're going to have nobody signing contracts in this coming summer. Well, summer 2021, there's going to be a huge, including Giannis Antetokounmpo, there's going to be a huge number of free agents. You know, what does that do to that market? You know, does Giannis now all of a sudden, can he make some serious money by going to play for the Lakers, for instance? You know, there's going to be those kinds of repercussions here that's just impossible to see, you know, where it all leads. It's impossible to see what's going to happen. It could wind up being that in 3 weeks the league says, okay, everything's okay, we start playing. I think that's probably a long shot, but you know, they could still finish this season some way. But if that doesn't happen, you know, who knows what some of the repercussions are going to be.
I mean, financially, again, this is speculation. You just don't know how long the coronavirus is going to, you know, before there's a vaccine, before people feel comfortable going out. Like, let's say they open the season back up and allow the fans, but the fans don't go.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's absolutely right. And you know, you just don't know. You just don't know what it's going to do to the league. Like I say, those individual games, you know, in the face of what the TV money is, both the national TV deals with Turner and ESPN, and then the face of what the regional TV money is, which is pretty significant as well. When you know, just your local broadcaster, the amount that they pay to broadcast those games. You know, that's where the league makes its bread and butter. But it still needs those daily. It still needs the gate. You know, it still needs the ticket sales and the parking sales and the souvenir sales. It needs all that stuff. If that's not there, then you know, who knows? And you know, the baseball example is a good one, because when they came off the strike and came back in 1995, of course, the fans did not come flocking back. So it was a problem for baseball for a while.
Sean, appreciate the time and insight. That's Sean Devaney, covers the NBA for Forbes and Heavy.com. Thanks, pal.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yep. I mean, like, if they just said, like, actually, on Tuesday or Wednesday, when my brother was planning on coming into town, he said, hey, let's go to a game on Saturday. And by yesterday, I was like, I don't think we should go to the Caps game. If there indeed is a Caps game on Saturday, and I'm going to guess there isn't.
Right.
I was like, I don't know. I think maybe we should think of doing something else.
Might have
else.
To reconsider. Might have to
See, here's the thing.
Rethink our plans.
And I threw out a donk recommendation at first, and then after I told my wife, she's like, what are you doing? You don't want to go to Caps game, but you go to the movies?
Right.
That's just as bad.
I think Sean is right. I think it's inevitable we have to cancel the tournament because they're thinking about fans and fans spreading it to the players. They're not thinking about players spreading it to each other.
Of course.
And it, you know, it's just, I know it sucks.
And there's a weird nugget about hotels. If you think about all those players who would be traveling to whatever arena,
they'll be interacting with a million
hotel,
people. Yeah.
And if one of them gets it and they're in a hotel room, like I read a weird story, that guy Matt Gaetz, the congressman, he said he didn't want to sleep in a hotel because he may have contracted corona. I don't think he did.
He
contract
tested negative,
it,
but he's still
but
quarantining.
But he slept in a Walmart parking lot.
Yeah, because he didn't want to expose others. Hold on, he didn't want to violate the self-quarantine.
Like in a car? Like,
yeah.
Because he was coming back from someplace when they told him. So he didn't want to go in a hotel and spread.
Okay.
So, I mean, he was doing the responsible thing.
It's uncomfortable. I'm guessing sleeping in your car for an entire night, probably uncomfortable.
Well, he wasn't around his house.
Well, he was coming long distance from somewhere. Yeah.
The problem with the tournament, though, say you start the tournament, right?
And then somebody
gets it.
They're going to have to cancel it.
Yeah, and if you're still playing.
Yeah. So
like
that's why.
Sweet 16.
Yeah, they have to just cancel it.
Yeah.
There's no upside. The only
hypothetical we talked about yesterday.
The only upside is dancing this high wire and thinking that 64 teams and 12 players per team or whatever, and 15 players per team and right. five coaches and six trainers and student personnel, that all those people aren't going to get it?
Right. Somebody's going to come
that's
test 64, positive at some
let's
point.
Let's say 80. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I can't even do the math on how many people.
They'd have to be tested before every game.
They'd have to be tested. Yeah, it's not doable right now.
Not enough tests to go around. I mean, it's impossible.
Rudy Gobert got a test in 5 minutes. So
supposedly the CDC was at the arena.
Right.
But I think actually Rudy wasn't at the arena.
He was not.
No, he was not. But they were at the arena to test the players.
The players.
Well, probably an emergency situation.
Let's say for each team there are 20 people. And there's actually 68 teams because you've got the play-in games, right?
So 70 times 20,
that's already
1,400.
1,360.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1,400 people. I mean, of course they're going to get it.
I didn't even include referees. And I mean, it'd actually
be just going to take one person to get it, and then they could, then, you know, it's cause so contagious.
Yeah, each arena for the games would probably have 50 people. You're going to have security.
Yeah, more than that.
I mean, more than that because you have families.
You'll have
families
some families, and they're going to have some media somewhere.
Plus the outcry. I mean, you saw the graphics last night. As soon as the Jazz, everybody connected all the teams that play the Jazz.
Right.
And it was all 30 NBA teams in 5 days.
Yeah.
There's just going to be so much outrage if they play it and somebody has come down with it.
And it's hard. It's a tough pill for us to swallow as a country. But it shows you, like, people still aren't accepting it. Like, they're booing when they're canceling the games. People are booing. You know, like when they announced that they were canceling the game last night, people are booing.
Those are my people, the Boers.
Nothing's been hotter than It's Just Sports right now.
It's true.
We need the keys.
Well, I mean, we've been talking about it for months, if not years, Valdez.
Right.
But Valdez was kind of mocking it like Rudy Gobert yesterday.
Well, I still mock it.
Yeah,
look, it may not be lethal and it may not kill you, but
right,
it's a reality of life.
But it's not about you, though. It's about our...
I understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
Trust me, I'm butt-sized to go over to the Georgetown church and lick all the Bibles and get a 2-week vacation with the fever and the runs.
Yeah, well, there's, yeah.
You just want to turn it into a big bet.
I know, but the thing is, Matt, is that it's just, I know it's funny, but it's just insensitive to the people that are getting it and dying. You know what I mean? Like,
I think in Italy it was closing in on like
struggling.
1,000 deaths.
Well, there's a lot of people that die.
I know, but this is unnecessary.
There's a lot of unnecessary death.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Trust me, there's a lot of unnecessary death.
Well, yeah. Eric, but it's not necessarily unnecessary because you could say that about the general flu, right?
Yes.
You'd have to put your entire... It really isn't that different.
It is different just because of the scope of it.
It's just deadlier.
It's bigger.
If you get
we don't necessarily know that because so many people... It may
potential
not
potential for it, if you listen to the...
Sure, but if 30 people have died, let's just say this, in the United States, but they're comparing that percentage to the people that they know have it. The people that they don't know have it, who haven't been tested, could be tens of thousands.
Correct.
Which would drop that number drastically.
Right, but they're using other countries as their baseline, too. And actually, the real one they're using, where they tested everyone, is like this: the cruise ships. Because that's a real good baseline. Because it's a controlled environment.
That's a very
they tested everyone.
Size.
It's 3,000, 4,000 people.
Hold on, you mock surveys that we bring up on the show because, you know, they have 1,000 people.
Yeah, yeah.
And, listen, and so all of a sudden you're taking this as
it's not gospel. It's not me that's doing it. It's the experts. I have not come up with an original thought on any of this. I'm just reading the experts.
He's the messenger.
Yeah, I'm not.
It's a complicated
coming up with anything.
Situation to put in of respecting others and not getting other people sick and trying to live your life to a point. Right.
Right. But I think we're in a hold pattern that we've never experienced before in our lifetimes. And it's hard for people to wrap their heads around. I think we all going to have to put our lives on hold here for a little bit to protect potentially an outrageous number of people, you know, suffering from this.
It's the same thing. Look, it's different, but it's the same thing as the adjustments that were made after 9/11. We didn't used to have to take off our shoes to get on an airplane. We didn't have to do all
of
those
things.
Yeah,
you have to change everything.
And they changed those things to keep us safe.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to accept it. I feel the resistance from
you. You can't live your life like this for the next 30 years.
No, he's got to die down.
No,
but
they got to figure it out. And
but
get
we
got to
figure
it
out and get through this. They're we got to get through this
I'm
one.
I'm not saying what they're doing is wrong, right? Yeah. But I'm saying that for people not taking it as seriously as other people want them to take it, I don't necessarily blame them. Yeah, this isn't Ebola, right? This doesn't have a 90% death rate.
You want everyone to act like you. And
I don't.
Some people just don't feel
that
way.
I don't. I want you to be positive. I need that. I need you to be positive. But I just... You know, you got to do your part. Like, you know, when you cough, you can't cough into your hand.
I know, but I don't. Well,
I'm not speaking to you directly.
I wash my hands. I take a shower.
But I think you should do what the CDC is asking you to do.
He started shaving his neck beard.
I think you should do progress. I think you should do what the government's asking you to do. The CDC is asking you to do. I mean, if you don't, that's fine, I guess. It's free country, but I would do what they're recommending.
All right, let's open the phone lines back up. It is Open Line Thursday, presented by Window Nation. If you're searching for new windows and doors, search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time, installed by experts to last Window Nation of your home, because it's where you live. We'll take your calls next at 800-636-1067 on an Open Line Thursday. We're the Junkies.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington on an Open Line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show. Our partners at NBC Sports Washington put up a poll on Twitter at NBCS Washington. What should the NCAA tournament, or what should the NCAA do about next week's tournament? Play it, suspend it, cancel it, not sure. 43% are at play it. Surprisingly.
Really? Nearly half. Wow.
27% say suspend it, 20% cancel it right now, so you can vote. We retweeted it at Junks Radio. If you were, I believe his name is Mark Emmert, the guy that runs NCAA, what would you do, Cakes?
I would
besides count your money, because I'm sure he's making
he's making
a nice
so much
salary.
Dough. I would probably follow the NBA's lead and probably just pull the plug. And it's a very difficult decision. I'd probably just cancel it. I would go a step further.
Cancel it, but I mean, cancel it means you couldn't do it in July. You're just going to wait till 2021?
Yeah. You just say, you know, due to circumstances beyond our control, we're not used to something like this happening. For the sake of public safety and health, we're canceling the tournament. I think ultimately that's what's going to happen.
I'd suspend it. Now, ultimately, it may have to
when?
Be canceled.
I mean, you're going
to
do it like in
August? Just like we've seen over the last week. As more information comes out, more data, more stats, people have changed their behaviors.
Right.
Things have been canceled and closed. it may continue to be like that for the next couple of weeks. And in a couple of weeks, we may be getting, you know, a month from now, they may say, okay, we're going to have passengers fly over from Europe. Things are better now. Mm-hmm. Don't know that that's going to be the case, but things can change. So I would suspend, not cancel.
Suspend would be fine.
Yeah.
You know, keep it on hold.
That buys you some time open. Going forward.
Yeah. I think it's optimistic, but it's okay. I'm okay to be optimistic.
By the way, I'm seeing headlines that Americans are paying up to $20,000 for last-minute flights out of Europe to try and get back to the U.S.
Oh, because they have to do it before midnight
before
on Friday,
travel
right?
ban goes into effect. But
my understanding was that it wasn't that straightforward, that if you were an American citizen, you could come back if you're naturalized.
I think you have to be screened.
Okay, well, they should be screened.
Yeah.
You should be screened.
Well, people probably that are desperate to get home.
Yeah. Let's go to Robert and Andrews. Robert, what's up?
Hey, give me a call. I'm actually pulling the base right now. But I wanted to say that I just flew back from Riverside, California. I was on March Air Reserve Base where they had the cruise personnel quarantined.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sick, and I'm also not afraid. I'm going to be flying out here momentarily back to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm headed to Kosovo for 9 months. But I also wanted to point out that in the past 5 months, and this is according to the CDC, up to 52,000 people have died from the common flu.
Yeah.
49 million have been infected.
Right.
And the things that Eric is panicking about, saying coughing in his sleeve and all that stuff, all of those things have been recommended forever.
Correct.
Those are not new things.
Correct.
If we can get people to change their behavior, that's good. That's not bad. That's not panicking.
I agree with you. That's great. I said that's a good thing that's come out of this, that our hygiene as a culture is going to get better. I agree with you.
Right. That doesn't mean shut down sports for the next 30 years.
Well, no one is suggesting that. We just got to get through this period right now, dude. All right, you got to pay attention to what's going on and how it's spreading and how it's overwhelming hospital systems in other countries. I don't think you can ignore that. It's not necessarily about everyone dying.
Let's look at the last big pandemic, 2009, mm-hmm. H1N1.
I know.
Which is also a strain of the Spanish flu. And in 1918, the Spanish flu was a big deal.
Right. We've talked about it. 100 million people got it. But the death rate, the mortality rate was much lower. It was actually less contagious than the regular flu. So, I mean, everything is different.
Look at the numbers now of the death rate. So it was 36 times more deadly than the flu. That was the original estimate. Fauci last night said it's now 10 times. So we're already down 26 times just based on the new numbers.
Well, right, that's based on his guess. They're getting information, and that's standard.
Look, people are taking precautions, and the nation is taking a precaution because there's a lot unknown. When you talk about the regular flu, yes, all of those people die. Those numbers are correct. But there's a lot more known about that. It's like knowing about heart attacks and knowing about cancers. So this is something that is new and it's unknown.
I agree. And necessary precautions need to be taken. I think we're going a little overboard.
Probably in the spirit of caution, you could make that argument. But we want to do, look, the way I understand it, and I'm just a guy. I'm not even that smart. But what I read everywhere is we're trying to avoid our hospitals being overrun so that people that do struggle with this, and hopefully it's a small number, but if it does get crazy, that we can treat them properly. That's what we're trying to avoid.
Hey, Robert, stay safe overseas in Kosovo, and appreciate your service.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
And then you have the situation where, you know, Fred Hoiberg is a college basketball coach. He has the symptoms, and he's freaking out. Everybody's freaking out, and he was tested and just had a cold.
No, well, it was influenza A. They're calling it the cold, but it was influenza A. But he shouldn't have done that.
Correct.
Especially in this environment right now.
But what you also, about overwhelming the system, you don't want people that, you know, have the sniffles, have the allergies,
right,
and things like that, all of a sudden freaking out that they have corona.
Correct.
And then showing up.
Look, I'm a hypochondriac. I've been a hypochondriac my whole life. I can't avoid it. I wish I wasn't. Every day I'm saying, do I have a fever? It's crazy. That's what you do when you're a hypochondriac.
Sure.
And I don't know what percentage of our country is a hypochondriac. I don't know, but it's more than 1%. I mean, there's a percentage of people out there that are hypochondriacs, and this is very, very hard to
get
through.
Mega tilting to them.
It's very, very hard to get through.
So one of the things that's a little bit confusing is there's a lot of information out there about what you're supposed to do to not get sick.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you do if you think you're sick?
Then you got to just kind of chill and wait until it gets to a certain level.
So then why are they saying that the testing is so important?
Because you want to be able to isolate yourself. Because if you do think you're sick...
But how do you get tested if you're isolating yourself?
Well, no, you got to make a... I guess what... Listen, I don't want to say, because I don't know exactly, but I think you're supposed to make a phone call, and then you're just supposed to tell them, and they'll tell you where to go, and then hopefully you can get tested. Now, I know a lot of people are having trouble getting tested, but what is your question?
My question is, a lot of people are just writing it out, right?
Yeah, which they should, is just because hopefully it's mild.
But by the time you write it out, the testing is over. Because they're telling everybody, don't panic. Don't go to the emergency room. Don't do that.
Well, they can't overrun the emergency rooms. And my understanding is the emergency rooms don't even have tests.
I don't think they want the people that have like 100-degree temperature that might have a mild case going in. But if you have 103, 104-degree temperature, they do want you to get tested.
If you have the other symptoms. If you have 103 fever and you have runny nose, like runny nose, apparently, I have a runny nose. That's not a symptom.
Right.
So... You know, that's something different. It's allergies. Like, I know I have allergies. It's also tilting to hypochondriacs when you have allergies when all this is going on.
Maybe this is a dumb question, but does testing even matter if you're just going to put more people at risk? If it's not dire and you can just stay in your bedroom for 3 days.
But how do you know when it's not or is dire?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
I think what they say is, I mean, that's why you're supposed to, if you think you have the symptoms and look them up, they're everywhere, you call. And then they talk you through it. Maybe you do a telemedicine thing. That's a very big thing right now is telemedicine, right? So you could talk to a doctor via your computer or whatever. And they can talk you off the ledge until you get to a point where you have difficulty breathing. That's, I think, the threshold. So if you have difficulty breathing, then you got to really hit that, you know, panic button a little bit and go from there.
Okay, that makes a little sense.
That's the best of my understanding. Now, just because you're having difficulty breathing doesn't mean you might have bronchitis.
Or
you might, or yeah, well, asthma is a complication of this. Or you know, people that get this have difficulty breathing, but they still recover. You know what I mean? It's only a certain small percentage, from what I understand, again, I'm not a doctor, I just read, that it's a small percentage that have difficulty breathing that for whatever reason it overwhelms them and then they can't recover. They get this pneumonia that they're. Body shuts down, but that's a small percentage.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-636-1067.
Yeah,
who's up?
All right, let's go to Bill in McLean. Bill, what's up?
Hey guys, I think the hysteria is way worse than the illness. You're talking about an illness that's treated with Gatorade at rest and NyQuil.
Yeah, that answer that. Why are they saying Gatorade? Why is that so important to keep you hydrated? Honestly,
because the symptoms are similar to the flu. You push fluids.
Yeah.
This is not, as the previous caller said, this is not Ebola. I mean, I can't believe all the panic. I mean, we've had worse pandemics, H1N1. We didn't cancel seasons.
The death rate wasn't this.
Got to sleep on H1N1, I'll be honest with you.
We all did. Social media has. There's no question that social media has exacerbated our response to this.
Oh, definitely.
Yes, absolutely.
There's no question.
The media has spun this up out of control. The economic damage is worse than the illness.
I would agree with that at this point, yeah. I would agree with that. I mean, I think the good news is I think it will come back, but it's going to take a long time.
Got an answer from our friend Dr. Shin, who used to do vasectomies on
show
for Vasectomy Madness.
Yeah, Dr. Shin. Dr. Shin?
I guess we're not doing Vasectomy Madness this year. I mean, there might not even be March Madness.
Right.
So,
yeah.
He said, good segment, great advice. Here's the deal with the testing. The benefit is when you're sick, is you can then trace the contacts. So if you get the positive result, you can trace the contacts and then hopefully help
and
out other people.
Slow it down.
Nobody has Corona immunity.
Right. Here's the thing that is interesting that I was talking to a buddy of mine. So like South Korea apparently is a good model. They've tested a lot of people and they've been able to dial it down. The numbers haven't been outrageous. Supposedly, tech has really been involved over there. They have apps. So if you test positive, you're put on an app, right? And then they could test your location. And it doesn't ID you personally, but you could see hotspots to avoid. So for social interaction, you could see, oh, there's coronavirus here on 12th Street and H.
Stay away.
There's three cases. Do you know what I mean?
That's what Cakes would want for life. Just tell him where the people are and where the people are.
Oh, absolutely.
He wants the opposite of hot spots. He wants to find the empty restaurants.
I want the cold spots, the coldest spots that I can find anywhere. That's where I want to hang out.
Right.
All right, we'll continue to take your calls on an open line Thursday, 800-636-1067.
Hey, Rickies, what do NBA champion Quinn Cook, Jaren Jackson, and former Maryland great Melo Trimble have in common? They all attended Coach Wooten's basketball camp at Coach Wooten's basketball camp. Their goal is for campers to love basketball more by instilling confidence, teaching the game, and most importantly, having fun. They teach all day, every day, 5 skill sessions per day. They work on your basketball IQ with competitions, contests, speakers, and 3 games per day. Instruction is the difference at Coach Wooten's basketball camp. Register at CoachWooten.com. That's 2 O's and 2 T's. That's CoachWooten.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Look, we know that a lot of times we can be an escape from the reality of life, but sometimes the reality of life, you got to talk about it. So we're talking about it today. We will try and mix it up a little bit later. 800-636-1067, as we're talking about the coronavirus. We were in West Palm Beach
last
week. A week and a half ago?
Yeah, wasn't last week? Or am I getting
about 10 days ago, yeah. Whatever.
Recently. We were there recently.
A passenger aboard a JetBlue flight from New York's Kennedy Airport arrived at Palm Beach International Airport, which we were at, as a positive coronavirus case early Thursday morning.
I'm sure Grant and Danny are happy, who are in West Palm we speak.
I mean, is Danny a hypochondriac like me?
I think he's definitely a worrier.
I know Grant, he's anxiety. Is he a hypochondriac?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know about when it comes to his health. When it comes to his sports teams, for sure.
Grant is more JP-esque, kind of a doubter, just goes on, rolls the punches.
I'm not a doubter of the reality of the situation, but I just like to focus in more on...
Some people
in this case, I'd like to focus more in on like the statistics. Could it happen to me?
Yeah.
Yes. And I'll do all the necessary precautions. I'll wash my hands longer, which... I guess I was about a 3 to 5 second hand washer.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. I'd take a whiz here, turn on the water, boom, and I'm out.
Super quick.
Yeah, I was good about that, but I was never good before eating.
Yeah, before eating.
Never.
I'm definitely doing it
I was
more.
Like, I have forks. What's the difference? But then, of course, you use your fingers to dip.
You're always using your hands.
I'm not
something.
A doubter, Kate,
I'm just so
but
dumb.
I'm more of an optimist.
Yeah.
I'm more of an optimist that this is going to work itself out. It's not the end of days. That's just the way that I think. Some people go the other way, and they think, oh, well, this is it. This
right.
is the big one.
Well, no,
this,
some people focus on the negative. They just It overwhelms you. It causes like a panic because you think about what's possible.
Right.
And others, and it's healthier. Try to not think, but there has to be a balance. Try to not think about the negative. Okay. Like my wife and I kind of, there's a conflict because, she, you know, I wear her out with my anxieties and my precautions.
Of course.
And beat her down.
And she just has to, she's like, I can't think about this all the time, Eric. You have to, you know, but it comes into conflict. We butt heads over it because I might think I want to do something for the children and she disagrees.
Right.
So what do you do there? I'll be honest with you. I would have kept my kids home today, but my wife disagreed. So I listened to my wife.
Right. Well, ultimately, there may be the superintendent of schools that's going to pull the plug.
Well, that's why I hope they make those decisions for us.
That's
like,
what happened
lead.
In Loudoun County.
Lead.
So anyway, that's what's going on in West Palm Beach right now with the guy who I guess knowingly traveled with the coronavirus.
Well, there's a little nuance to it because he was tested.
Okay.
And he got the results like while he was taxiing or whatever. You know what I mean? While he was on the plane.
Not very timely.
According to them.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the panic if you found out on our flight we landed and there was a guy who may have had coronavirus. Here's what a passenger said after the flight.
Started at JFK in New York, took off, everything was fine. Normal flight, landed here in West Palm. Person across the way from me was taken to the back of the plane. He was wearing masking gloves. His wife was sitting in the same row as me. Mentioned to us that he wasn't feeling well and that he had gotten a phone call about his test results right before we took off, implying he had a positive test, but not actually saying it.
So that's on him. If I'm sitting on a plane and my phone rings and I answer it, which is rare because that usually goes to voicemail. But if I do answer it and I'm expecting a test result and they say, hey, stupid, you've just tested positive for the coronavirus, I'm going to immediately alert the stewardess and say, hey, tell the captain, tell the pilot to shut it down right now.
Immediately, even though you'll probably be okay, you'll immediately poop your pants.
Well,
then,
right.
Yeah, you'll stain your underwear.
Yeah.
Then you'll tell.
But I'm not just going to sit there and say, okay, I've got coronavirus. I'm going to expose 100 other people to it for 3 hours while I'm flying to West Palm.
You know, for the good of humanity right now in particular, we have to be hypervigilant. And JP, when you cough.
I know.
Tell people
I'm
you did.
I'm a hand cougher. I've always been.
I'd rather you just cough in the air.
Okay.
Because when you cough in your hand, now you're touching all the doors.
All right, Ricky.
Changing the TV 1,000 times.
Yeah, I mean.
I'll never touch that remote, ever.
Just learn to do this.
JP's loves to touch the remotes. He sings the praises of Mike and Molly, telling me it's the funniest TV show he's ever seen.
I did not say that.
And I decline and say, well, I'm too evolved comedically to laugh at Mike and Molly. I'm sorry. I just am. JP goes for the low-hanging fruit.
You went to the Jim Gaffigan show. The humor is very similar, and I'm a big Jim Gaffigan guy. All I'm saying is...
The humor in the Jim Gaffigan show is so much more advanced than Mike and Molly.
Please,
it's not even close.
Really, he doesn't do a bunch of jokes about him being fat?
Of course he does. But
I'm sure that's advanced.
His jokes are smart, and most importantly, they're not sweetened with a stupid laugh track. I don't do laugh track. Okay. You do. It's kind of your thing.
Let me just say, and I am a Jim Gaffigan fan, the humor is very similar.
Okay. I don't see it that way. You like Mike and Molly. I don't. You love to touch the remote and then cough into your hand.
I just didn't want to put it on like the stock market crashing and the news.
Right.
Just put on something different.
All right. The phones are locked and loaded. All right. Let's go to...
It is an open line Thursday. Yeah. We're kind of snoozing on that.
And listen, this is your time to vent or... If you have information or whatever it is,
you have the donk that's supposedly flying to Hawaii. I would reconsider that. And Hawaii is a great place.
Ooh, just because of the flying part?
It's closer to China.
I don't know if it's a hot spot.
Yeah, I don't know.
If you listen to the experts, they just say they're not afraid to fly because they have great ventilation. Believe it or not, they've upgraded ventilation and stuff in planes and stuff. It's not necessarily the flying, but you just want to fly into a hot spot.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Vic in Manassas. Vic, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Vic.
You guys are both, y'all had concerns about, you know, what to do if you feel like you're getting it. Well, my girl works on the front line. She's a medical assistant for a family clinic here in Northern Virginia.
I can't do it with this phone. I can't do it with this phone. Sorry.
All right. Sorry, buddy. Just call back with a better. We'd like to hear your information, but we couldn't hear you. Was he on speaker or something? I mean, what was he doing?
No, he put it on Bluetooth. Good information.
No Bluetooth.
Yeah.
He says they give you the test in your car.
Yeah.
You sit in the parking lot, they bring the test to you in the car and give it to you
That's what I've heard. Like, I think in other countries they do, like, I think maybe in South Korea they were doing
drive-through.
Yep.
Does anybody still use the Bluetooth headset in their ears? Is that still a thing?
I thought all brothers do that.
Really?
I don't see
still that. Still in 2020?
I don't see it very often.
It can't be.
No, but I mean, if you see it, it's the domain of brothers.
Okay.
It's like, you
are, maybe that's the case.
They used to dominate it, like scalping in the NBA.
Maybe
scalping dominated is still that. A very brother-dominated industry.
Hey, oh, but there's still a bunch of whiteys that do that,
I'm doing that every single day with my silly $15 Bluetooth fake Bose.
No,
I
he's
Amazon.
Talking about the Bluetooth earpiece, stupid.
Yeah, talking about like the wireless.
Not the modern wireless headphones.
Ricky.
Yeah. He's talking about the microphone.
The earpiece.
The earpiece that was like the first thing in 20 years ago. All right. Let's go to...
It's a good Curb Your Enthusiasm bit, by the way, where Larry David goes to dinner by himself. He's sitting at a table, and there's a guy next to him sitting at a table by himself on his Bluetooth talking.
See, now that's...
And shocker, Larry David gets annoyed, so he just starts talking to, like, an imaginary friend.
That's solid comedy.
And the guy gets bitter at him.
No laugh track.
Right.
Okay. All right. The lines are locked and loaded. Please don't go. We want to get your calls, but we got Cindy Bourne from the Washington Post up next. She writes in the sports section, obviously. And we'll get her perspective on it, and then we'll weave in your calls at 800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.